Good afternoon and welcome to Great Falls Today. Great Falls Today gives listeners a behind-the-scenes look at Great Falls local government. Great Falls Today offers a closer look at the city of Great Falls and the people who provide programs and services. Learn more about your city through the voices of the people who work, live, and play here. Good afternoon. I'm your host, Greg Doyon, City Manager for the City of Great Falls. And today I'd like to welcome my guest, Tanya Houston, the Cascade County Health Officer. Welcome, Tanya.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you in the studio. And this is a little different. Usually we have departments that are directly under the city government, but there's a connection that we'll learn that your organization has to the city and the county, and it'll be fun to explore that relationship. But to get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you from Great Falls?
You know, I grew up in a tiny town in northeastern Oregon and then loved the outdoors, took a drive through Montana, and decided if I got offered a job here, I would move here. And so I was offered a job in Great Falls back in 2002 and moved here and have been here ever since and really love it.
So what were you doing back in 2002? What was your first job in Montana?
I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
And so so you've been promoted pretty well. I think your career has progressed
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
So what was that experience like? I actually have a funny story about that. But
you know, my boss was great. It was a great opportunity to get to Montana. And then I just kind of moved laterally, started with the county in a different department, actually, in 2004, and then transitioned to the health department in 2010.
So from the private sector to county government, and then what did you start doing at the county level when you transitioned in? Or do I dare ask that one?
No, you can ask. Sure. It's just an interesting path that my career has taken. And so I actually started out in juvenile detention and started out working the floor with the kids and then worked my way up into administration in that department and then transitioned to the health department and have worked my way up and was just promoted within to my current position about 4 years ago, and now I'm the health officer, aka director of the health department.
What was it like to work in juvenile detention? That sounds like that could be tough, difficult, but rewarding work, or is it?
Agreed. You know, I really liked it. I tend to see the world through rose-colored glasses, and then I carried that with me throughout my career in that job. And most of the kids are good kids, just products of their environment. And I felt like I had a good rapport with them. As long as you're firm, fair, and consistent, it was just a fine job.
And so when you got into administration, what was that position like? And I don't even know that many people know that we have a juvenile detention facility here in the community to begin with, mm-hmm. but we do. And how many kids were there at the time that you were serving? Do you remember? Was it fairly?
26. Mm-hmm. And so then when I was part of administration, so I got promoted up off the floor mm-hmm. and was supervising all of detention, doing all the training for all the detention officers and such. And so a good job. It just sometimes it ended up being a 24/7 gig and I had kids and things like that. And so just life changes. And so this is more of a Monday through Friday job, and I'm mm-hmm. able to keep some more consistency and make my family a little bit more of a priority, and that was important to me at that time.
Is the detention facility run by the state?
It is not. No, it is county.
It is a county government. So I was going to say, so you transitioned into another aspect of county government.
Correct.
After that. So stayed within the same form of government.
Correct.
Different role, and that position again was, what did you do for the health department when you made the move?
When I first made the move, yeah. I was actually pregnant with my daughter, and so I was public health emergency planner. So kind of started out bottom of the barrel. I was just going to do a JOB and then just slowly worked my way up. And when the previous health officer left, I applied for and was chosen for this position.
Did you like the emergency management part of what you were doing when you first transitioned? What was fun about that? I mean, I don't know that many people know, and we'll get into more about what the City County Health Department does, but I don't know that people would even think that there's an emergency management component to that. So what did you do in that job?
You know, in that job, I always joked and said that I planned for the things that we hope never happen. But when we look at things like pandemic flus or other communicable diseases, natural disasters such as flooding, what is the part that public health plays? So how do we help support people and promote the public's health even when we're looking at a disaster or communicable disease, things of that nature?
Or Ebola, right?
Or
because
Ebola.
That was the,
exactly.
one of the things that we had
yes,
to work
when
through.
I was promoted to health officer, one of the first things that kind of came across my plate was Ebola. And so I had the opportunity. So public health emergency preparedness is a huge component and has been a huge component of my career ever since I started in public health.
So you succeeded. Who was in the job prior to you? It was Alicia?
Alicia Thompson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you were promoted to the health officer. And how long have you been in that role now?
About 4 years.
Wow. So time flies.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I never had aspirations to be the next health officer, but I really love public health and I really respect and appreciate the agency that I work for. And I realized when that opportunity arose that I either could... I know it's cliche, but grab the wheel and be part of the change that I wanted to see in public health and in our agency, or hold on and hope it went in a direction I wanted. And I chose to apply for and was successfully chosen as the applicant.
Well, it sounds like you seize those opportunities and it's kind of fun.
It is.
Like you said, interesting career path, but look at what you're doing and where you are now.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting.
Thank you.
So let's transition into the City County Health Department itself. What is it and what is its role in the community?
I think one of the big things that even I had to realize, I worked, as I mentioned, in a county department before I came to work at the health department, and I did not realize the breadth of what public health covers. And so that's something I know we'll talk a little bit more about today, but it really is what makes public health so interesting. I think that all of us tend to think of public health as what we've dealt with, whether we've taken our kids there for immunizations, whether we know that they do restaurant inspections, or something else, you know. It's hard to really understand the breadth, but public health encompasses so many of things. It encompasses the world in which we live in and how do we make sure that it's a healthy place in which we all can thrive.
So you started down that road a little bit about some of the services and programs that you do. And I always ask you about the sanitarians that do the restaurant inspections. I mean, so that's a pretty important aspect of what your department does, do the restaurant inspections. Tell us a little bit about how many that you have and how often they get out to restaurants. And if you get a real bad one out there, is there a way the public can find out about it so they can make a decision before they go there?
Absolutely. You know, our sanitarians are out doing licensed establishment inspections consistently. And so whether those are restaurants, which ends up being over 800 inspections per year, and or things like tattoo parlors, hotels and motels, daycares. There are a lot of different places in our community that we're tasked with helping make sure that it's a healthy environment for the public. And really, those places end up having the same goal we do. People don't want to make the public sick when they come to their establishment, and we want to help educate them and make sure that they can provide a healthy environment for the public. Is there a way that the public can see the results of those inspections? Absolutely. We recently, within the last, I guess, year and a half or so, have started publishing those results online. So if people go to our website and go to our environmental health page, they can actually go online and see what the results of an inspection were. We don't use the grading system because although people like that system, it does tend to be a little bit subjective. And our goal is really, like I said, the same as the establishments. And we want to be as objective as possible and just put the facts out there so people can make educated decisions.
What other primary programs or services do you do in the department?
In environmental health, which is
the department.
Okay, so environmental health, which was our inspectors, if you will, they also do septic permits, subdivisions, our rabies program. So anytime there's an animal bite or a rabies exposure, we do the follow-up on that, along with animal control and our public health nurses. Other divisions within our department and other services we provide, we have our prevention services, which is communicable disease follow-up. So you mentioned Ebola before, if we had had a case of Ebola, or when we have things like pertussis, which is also known as whooping cough, our prevention services does the follow-up for that. Cancer control and prevention, tobacco prevention, a lot of those different wellness type programs fall under prevention services. We also have family health services, which, as you can imagine, kind of encompasses the women, infant, and children type programs. So public health home visiting, where our nurses go into the homes to help, because kids don't come with a handbook, as we know. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of help provide that education and guidance to help individuals better raise their families. And also the Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC program, which is supplemental nutrition for certain populations, as well as Circle of Security parenting classes, things along those lines. And then last, we have our administrative division, which oversees our different funding streams. And I know that we plan on talking a little bit about that because we do have a myriad of different funding streams and a lot of contracts for service and such. So along with becoming an accredited agency, HIPAA, mandatory staff training, a lot of those different programs and such fall under administration.
You mentioned something about dog bites, and I know this is something that gets reported to the city's animal control officers, but are you surprised at people's reluctance to report those, and why is it important that they do that?
Yeah, you know, we have really worked hard to try to educate the public that they aren't going to, there's this perception that if they report that their dog bit them or their dog bit somebody, that their dog is going to get put down. And that really is a false perception. We just want to make sure that that person's going to be okay and that there isn't a potential rabies exposure. So there's different steps that we take, but a lot of it's just education. There can be an in-home quarantine where we just watch the pet and then have it checked by a vet to make sure that it's not exhibiting any signs of rabies. So it's imperative that those bites get reported so that we can follow up and do the appropriate follow-up and make sure that people are going to be safe and healthy. If we're not able to do a quarantine on an animal, we're not able to follow up and make sure that the animal's healthy or find that animal, then a lot of the times we have to recommend what's called a PEP exposure, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, and it's a series of shots that are somewhat uncomfortable for an individual and very expensive. And so it's better for us if we can do the front end and make sure that the animal's healthy, and that way we can keep the people healthy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard bad stories about the shots over the years, but I think they probably even changed it from when I was a kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people get part of your organization confused. So there's the aspect that you manage, the health safety part of it, and then there's a kind of a clinic. So there is a difference between the two entities, right? Maybe if you could just explain that a little bit so folks understand that it's actually two kind of separate divisions.
That's right. There definitely is. We are co-housed, as you mentioned, with the community healthcare center. We used to be the same agency, but over time it was divided. And so the community healthcare center is overseen by completely different leadership. I oversee the health department, and under the Community Healthcare Center, one way to help define that is very much your clinical care. When you think of primary care providers, medical, dental, behavioral health providers, that all falls under the Community Healthcare Center. So somebody who wants a doctor's appointment, and that's a very individualized care. With public health, we are more focused on mass care, if you will. And so we are trying to promote the public's health as a whole. When you think of immunizations, that is preventing communicable disease, not only in an individual, but in the population. When you're looking at chronic disease prevention, things like that, it's less individualized care, more of a mass care model. And also, we don't do a lot of the clinical care. We can do a little bit of testing. People can come to us for HIV, STD tests, things along those lines. But for your true clinical care, if somebody wakes up with the sniffles and they want to get seen by a primary care provider, they're going to go to the community health care center, not come to the health department.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about the different divisions within your department. How is the department governed? What's the governance structure over the health department?
I am super fortunate in the fact that I answer to two different boards. So I answer both to the Board of County Commissioners, which is made up of Commissioner Weber, Commissioner Briggs, and Commissioner Larson, which again are the Cascade County Commissioners. And then I also answer to a Board of Health that is made up of a diverse membership. There is representative from the City of Great Falls. There is a representative from the school district, Tammy Lacey, the superintendent of schools. There is a representative from the City of Great Falls Commission. At this point, that is Owen Robinson. There is a representative from the Cascade County Commission, which is Jane Weber. Cascade County also has a designee that they appoint to represent Cascade County as a whole. At this point, that is Terry Barber. We also have a 4th District Dental Association individual, Dr. Martin, and then a Cascade County Medical Society designee, and that is Dr. Ray Geyer. And so that are the two boards that I answer to within the scope of my duties.
And you said you were fortunate to have two boards, I think. So we all know it's a little challenging to work for two different boards, but who sets the direction for the department then if you have these two governance structures?
It's really an interesting thing. I think that a lot of the times the priorities and the needs of the community are what sets our course. And so operationally, a lot of the times I answer to the Board of County Commissioners because I am considered a county department. So I attend the department head meetings under the county. I am county HR is who supports me in any HR needs, things along those lines. The Board of Health is really there as part of the regulatory structure. So when something, if an individual from the community needs a variance, so they are going to ask us for some sort of a variance from, let's say, a septic regulation, they go in front of our Board of Health and ask the Board of Health. And so there is somewhat of a delineation between the two boards as to what their roles are. But the priorities are really set, again, by the needs of the agency, the needs of the community, and then the different needs identified based on our contracts for service.
You're listening to your local public radio station, 89.9 FMKGPR. I'm your host, Greg Doyen, host of Great Falls Today. Our guest is Tanya Houston, the health officer for the Cascade County Health Department, or I should say the City County Health Department to get it right. And thanks again, Tanya, for joining me. And we're talking a little bit about the department and its governance structure. And we were just visiting a little bit about who you report to because there's two boards in the mix and what your priorities are. So you said that the needs of the community are kind of driven by, that the goals are driven by the needs of the community. So what are some of those needs that you're seeing in your capacity as health officer?
Really, I think we are in public health because the needs sometimes can be changing. And as we know, with things like international travel, sometimes there is a communicable disease that may come onto our radar, such as, like you mentioned before, Ebola. But really, our needs at this current time can be dictated by things like we are just about to embark on our new community health needs assessment, which is a survey that goes out to the community and then a process of meetings and things along those lines that help identify the needs of the community as they see them. And then from that comes a community health improvement plan. And at this point, we have four priorities set out under our community health improvement plan. And the one that we are specifically, well, really, we have a part in all of those four priorities. So there's the healthy weight component, which is helping Cascade County residents achieve and maintain a healthy weight. There's substance abuse prevention, there is child abuse and neglect prevention, and then access to care. So as you can see, we really play a part and are involved in all four of those priorities. Other priorities are, of course, just ensuring that health. So our Environmental Health Division is going to help by conducting those restaurant inspections and things along those lines.
I know we've talked about this before in prior conversations, and it's difficult to explain, but to the best of your ability, how is the department funded? Where do you get your primary sources of funds to do all of these services that you're talking about?
Well, really, we at any time can have 26 to 29 different funding streams, and those are made up of a myriad of different agencies, if you will. I mean, so for example, the City of Great Falls contributes a set amount to help towards our operating costs. The county contributes out of the county general fund to help provide some of our mandatory functions as a health department. We have contracts for service with the state. We receive funds to help with institutional controls with some of the different Superfund sites in our community. And so there are just many different ways that we receive funding. We also have some ability to generate revenue by providing services to our community, such as immunizations and then charging insurance, things along those lines.
Who are some of your community partners? I mean, you probably work pretty extensively with other organizations, but who are some of those partners and what kind of things do you do together?
We are fortunate because I feel like one of our strengths is our collaborative relationships with community partners, whether we're looking at our direct community partners, such as the city. You know, not only does the city make a contribution to us financially, but we work incredibly close with the city on everything from planning, because of course there's going to be that public health component of planning, and then there's the actual building component of planning. And so different partners such as that, so different governmental agencies, as well as non-governmental agencies, so our NGOs in the community, Red Cross, Salvation Army. We also partner closely with different agencies such as the Great Falls Clinic and Benefice to put on some of our flu shot clinics, our immunization clinics, because really we want to make sure that there's not redundancy of effort and we all have that same goal of protecting our community from the different threats to their health.
You have these two kind of governance structures, the county commissioners and the Board of Health. Is there any state oversight at all for the department?
That's an interesting question. When you say oversight, due to the variety of programs that we offer and the contracts for service that we carry, as well as the fact that we operate under the administrative rules of Montana and the Montana Codes Annotated, we do work collaboratively with the state. Mm-hmm. And we turn to them many times with questions or for guidance. Operational oversight is pretty limited, but with a few programmatic exceptions. So for programs like, let's say, WIC, Women, mm-hmm. Infants, and Children, there is a fair amount of state oversight to programs like that. Others are more limited.
So it kind of just varies on the program.
Really, it does. But... and I know that that's not a very good cut and dry answer, but so many of the things that we dabble in are a little bit more gray.
Right, right.
That's what keeps my job interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of pressing issues are you currently dealing with now?
I think that probably one of the most pressing issues that I have seen since being hired in public health is really the lack of knowledge regarding what we do and the services that we provide for the community. I feel like there's a real gap in the population that we could reach and the population that we do reach. And so, for example, just right before this opportunity to speak with you, Greg, we were meeting and discussing, so how do we help meet that demographic and get the services? You know, we do have the ability to serve more clients with our Safe Care program, which is one of the parenting programs. And so how do we ensure that people are coming to us and we're meeting that need in our community? And so I would say that that's one of the most pressing issues, is just a lack of knowledge about what we do and what we can offer.
So my next question was going to be, and you kind of answered it already, is it hard to reach the public on important health issues? So sounds like for some of the programs that you want to get to, it is tough, but on others, is it that challenging, or do you feel like you have a pretty good communication structure and plan to help get information out when you need to?
I think that that's a great question, and I think that you really hit on it, and that is the fact that, so if it's a hot topic, such as right now flooding is a hot topic, mm-hmm. we are well poised, and I think that people really know to turn to us for some of that information. Or if we're looking at different communicable diseases, if there's a measles outbreak or influenza, people know to turn to the health department. But with some of our lesser known programs, it is harder for us to get that information out. But we are constantly striving to figure out new and creative ways within our funding constraints to get that information out there. And of course, as we all know, the world of communication is constantly evolving. And so how do we meet those mm-hmm. needs and reach that population where they are getting their information?
So are you on Twitter? Do you have a Facebook presence?
Are
you using
Facebook.
Any of those social
yes,
media?
Yes, we're on Facebook. We haven't made the jump to Twitter or Instagram at this point. Just we're really trying to assess what is the best, because as you know, it's kind of a return on investment too.
Right.
Where do you spend your time and energy? Mm-hmm. Facebook seems to be pretty good for us right now. And then just working on getting our press releases out there, working on getting people to turn to our website for more information, things along those lines.
So what's been the greatest professional challenge that you've had since becoming the health officer, and any kind of unique challenges or surprises along the way that you feel comfortable sharing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think probably one of the biggest ones for me is once I realized the diversity of what public health covers was understanding and becoming okay with the fact that I can't be the expert in all areas. And that is why I will be the first to say that I have an incredible team of subject matter experts. And I trust and respect them. And they do an incredible job for our agency and for our community. And so when we look at things like our environmental health regulations, they are so detailed. There's no way that I could have a complete handle on all of the details of those. However, I do have an environmental health division manager and five sanitarians who have an exceptional understanding. So when I need to get into the minutia of that, I can turn to them and they are truly my subject matter experts. But I think coming to that realization and becoming okay with it and extending that trust was maybe a little bit challenging for me at first, but I'm sure you can understand that. Being a city manager, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you run into that at times as well. There's no way that we can be everywhere at once.
Right.
And that's why we have such a strong team.
Absolutely. Is it tough to attract those professionals into those positions? Is it tough to recruit and keep them there?
Well, I mean, we're all in public health for the money, you know, because we make so much. No, I'm just kidding. Really, I think that I work incredibly hard to promote a culture in which people want to come to work. I think that we've all had jobs in our past in which we didn't want to go to work. And I think that our staff many times are our greatest asset. And if we can promote a place in which they want to come to work, then we are going to, the details will take care of themselves, and then they're going to provide better services to our clients and our taxpayers. Many vacancies in our organization are filled by word of mouth. Or our promotions from within, which I think speaks highly of our staff and the training and opportunities that we like to give within. I am a huge person for growing our own staff. When we have a vacancy that we aren't able to fill in that way and we just have to post, sometimes it can be difficult to fill because of the restraints on salaries. I mean, we do pay less than if you look at a clinical nurse as opposed to a public health nurse. But people like the hours. They like the fact that they can work Monday through Friday. And so sometimes we can get people in the door that way. So is it tough to recruit? At times. But retaining, I feel like a lot of our vacancies happen from people either growing their careers because there's limited upward mobility at times, or retirements. And so that speaks highly. We've got a great staff. And so I'm very proud of where we're at right now.
Is there any particular success that you're proud of that you've been able to complete since you've been there? And I know you don't want to boast about anything, but just out of curiosity, there's got to be something that maybe you've felt strongly about that you were able to complete or get the department to do?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't think it's anything that I got the department to do, but I do think that the staff and our leadership that we have in place were able to achieve accreditation. And so as an agency, we recently became accredited, and that has been years in the making and was quite the long process. And I think that it just helps demonstrate that our staff do a superb job walking the walk. It's not only that they are showing up to work each day, but they're truly doing the best for our community and can demonstrate that. And that is part of why we were able to become an accredited agency.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
that
you.
Is a lot of work
Thank
for
you.
Anybody
Thank
that's
you.
Ever gone
I'm
through that process.
I'm super proud of the staff.
That's excellent. Where do you hope to see the department in the next 5 years?
One of the things I think that I have learned about myself is that I tend to do a lot of things intuitively. And as okay as that can be as a leader, I think that there is a great opportunity for us to get better at measuring things. And so learning to utilize data to its full capacity in order to help foster positive changes is a goal that we are really working towards. So we are in the process right now of rewriting our strategic plan. And we're doing that in an incremental three-phase process. And part of that is doing a great job measuring and reporting out and really tracking some data. I don't want to become completely wrapped around the axle, but it's definitely an opportunity for improvement with us and me as a leader of our agency. And so somewhere I'd like to see us better, or somewhere I'd like to see us in about 5 years, is being able to better demonstrate in a numerical sense some of the strides that we've taken to make positive changes in our community.
How can residents learn more about your department?
Well, as I mentioned, we have a Facebook page. So mm-hmm. I would really encourage anyone who has that presence to go ahead and follow us on Facebook. They can call us at 454-6950, and our lovely ladies who answer the phone would be happy to help them get their questions answered. We also are open to, if someone wants to come tour our facility, we'd be happy to do that and learn more. And they can also visit our website at www.cchdmt.org.
So I have to ask you before we get to the final word, have you been fishing lately?
Yes.
And did you catch anything monster that would make me jealous?
You know what? I just have a great time. Is that not the
good
pat
way to
answer?
Shy away from, right, the, from right. the answer? Because I know.
You know, being a fly fisherman, sometimes it's not as much about the catching as just getting out and having a great
Absolutely.
Time. Although the Missouri has been fishing well. So.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about
there
that
we
off
go.
Air and figure
there
out what's
go.
Budding. So is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners about the current efforts within the department or any information that you'd like to pass along for the final word?
You know, we just want to thank our community. We're really here and trying to work diligently to help improve the health of our community. And we appreciate the support, collaboration, and trust of the residents. And we look forward to continuing our efforts. And really, I do encourage people to reach out. I'm about to start going out in the community. And so you'll be seeing me soon to present to the city leadership with our annual report. And that just is kind of a snapshot of some of the numbers and some of the things that we've done over the last year. It sounds like I've had about 5 neighborhood councils reach out and they're interested in having me come and present. But really, I'd encourage people, reach out, tell us what we can do to make a difference, if they want to see something, if they have questions. But again, thank you for your support and encouragement for us as a agency in your community.
I'd like to thank today's guest, Cascade County Health Officer Tanya Houston. Thank you for your service and helping us understand your role at the City County Health Department. And for the listeners, thank you for tuning in to Great Falls Today, your closer look at the City of Great Falls programs and services and the people who provide them. Experience your city through the voices of the people who work, live, and play here. Again, I'm your host, Greg Doyen. Until next time.